To order, this is the September 16th meeting of the, what is this, the Sunol Citizens Advisory Council. And we have three people here on it, Rosemary Chang, Demetrius Castellanos, and Barry Kaminsky. Okay, yeah, thank you. Okay, well, thank you for all coming. And we're going to open with public comments and anything any wants to talk about. And I see a hand back there.
I'd like to bring, my name's Alan Dentremont, I live on Foothill Road. I'd like to bring before the committee some activities, some construction activities in place adjacent to the railroad tracks, Niles Canyon Railway. There's a ditch been dug parallel to the tracks. There appears to be some construction in the way of concrete foundations with connection boxes. It appears to me that there might be lights going down there. And I'd like to know if it's come before this committee or about any county.
Which side of the railroad tracks? Is it on the foothill or on the railroad?
On the south side of the railroad tracks from the west of Kilcare Road going down Niles Canyon.
Okay, so along Railroad Avenue or Railroad Road?
It's south of the railroad tracks, so it's on the
I know, but there's a street called Railroad. So it's there's a street called Railroad.
That's way over here.
That's over here.
Oh, okay. Niles. Oh, okay.
It's often confused. It's confused on the maps. But this is going west from Kilcare Road, from
west.
The train station.
Got it, west.
Parallel to the tracks going down Niles Canyon. So there's some construction activity going on there. And I'd just like to know what the scope of it is, what they're doing.
I don't see anyone from...
I was told that what they're doing is they're raising the ground over there so you could walk into the train. That's why they're raising that up over there.
Like a platform?
They have also installed concrete foundations and interconnection boxes. I don't know what the purpose is, but it potentially could be light standards. It could potentially be signals.
They're putting lights out there also.
Okay, there we go. We got somebody knows.
Do you know anything
nobody
about
else knows.
I don't know, but I can find out, and I'm happy to follow up with you to provide you that information.
Yeah, they're putting lights down there because people are boarding the train.
Well, has this come before the committee, or is this just been...
We've not heard anything about
this. They do it all
this.
By themselves, and it doesn't come before the committee?
Do we know what the process is, Chris, for when they... Can they just... So, do any construction there?
So I'm not entirely certain on the process they have to follow, but since it is county land, I gotta imagine that they have to communicate with Public Works on construction projects they're gonna be doing in the corridor.
All right, so something that Beth can help us
it is their, yeah, it is their responsibility to maintain that corridor.
Okay.
And if they put lights, don't you think they have to come in front of the committee?
Yeah, once again, these lights are going to be down Niles Canyon. Almost to my house. Not quite. They're about 50 yards to the east of my house. So it's going to impact me.
Okay. All right. Well,
so I can look into it and get back to the council as well as you, sir, to let you know what the council is.
Can you please repeat your name again?
Alan Dentremont.
Oh, yes, Jim.
Well, there's two things that I didn't know aware of. One, they're putting in new loading platforms. That's PLA. To get on and off the train. And then also my understanding is that the real big deep pit that they've dug, and I think it's filled in now, that's associated with the pipeline, the gas pipeline that goes right through there. And so they're putting in some infrastructure related to the gas pipeline.
Okay, so it's not PLA, it's part
of it. No, PLA is doing their own thing, which has to do with the loading platform for people getting on and off the train. But the easiest thing would just be to call PLA and make sure they can tell you about what is going on.
Okay.
My concern is that it's going to have an impact on residences in that area.
Yeah, once we find out what they're doing, then we can figure out what the
impact is. Please do find out what they're doing.
Okay, so you'll give your email and contact information to Chris?
No, I would suggest that they contact the committee.
I know, but don't you want to find out what's going on? Like, they'll tell us.
Yeah, that's fine. Then I will find out.
Okay. All right. Next month, maybe we'll have an update. Okay. All right. Yes, Roxanne.
I'm Roxanne Lindsay with Ace Train. And I wanted you to know, I'm local, that your contacts are not necessarily with Stockton alone, that if you have any questions, I brought my cards, maybe you could take one and give me a call. We're coming back October 21st, Wednesday night, for the next community meeting. And we will be talking about the Wayside Horns. So I hope you'll come, bring other people who are invited. I know how important it is to the community. So my email, my phone number is on there. I live in San Ramon, so I'm nice and close. I come down and have coffee with Ario early in the morning sometimes. So just feel free to get in touch with me if you have questions, but do come to the October 21st meeting and bring other people who are interested in the train for any reason. Thank you very much.
What about the other trains that use that track, not just Ace
the
Train?
The Union Pacific?
Yes. Do you speak for them, or are you part
no,
of
okay. I can't.
Well.
But it's certainly the meeting on the 21st is a good time for you to voice those questions. And I recommend put your questions on an index card with your name and phone number and email if you would like, so you can ask the question, but you can hand it to someone, and we'll have those questions to take and find out those answers. Union Pacific representatives may not be here, and we can take those questions to them and say, how is this going to work? We've heard from Sunil.
Okay.
Sound good?
Yes, sound good.
Very
good.
Thank you.
Thanks,
Roxanne. Much.
Thanks for coming down. Yes.
I just wanted to mention that on September 27th, that's a Sunday, SAGE, the Sustainable Agriculture Group that sublets to the farmers next to the Water Temple, is having their annual harvest festival. Sunil Sturt will be there. You're welcome to take one, put them on your refrigerator so that you remember the date. There's pumpkin patch, there's live music, there's food, it's a lot of fun. Bring your families, it's kid friendly. Definitely, you guys are always invited. So are you. That was it.
Okay. All right, thank you, Lynn. Any other? Yes, Darrell.
I'm Darrell Hansen, and I'm a 50-year resident of Sunil. But I have created this thought of a Sunil Historical Society, and I'm not dead in the water yet. I'm healed up a little bit, and there's a setback, but we're still drumming the possibility of doing something for it. I was in touch with the church, the little brown church, because it's one of our historical sites, and we're going to talk about possibly doing some type of fundraiser to help the church, because it's not doing as well as it could. And so I just wanted the community to be aware that any support we can give them for, particularly because of it's a classic example of the history of Sunil. The church has been there for a long time and has some history that's very interesting to all of us, regardless of your religious is all I wanted to get across, that we still want to do this, go forward with.
So are you forming the committee, or is the church forming a committee?
No, I'm kind of engineering the committee. Okay. I would like to have a younger person take over my job, because I'm slow and I don't have the memory that I'd like to have, but I'm still very interested in it. I feel we deserve this type of history to be, and keep it interesting for young people, middle-aged people, and I rarely talk to somebody that hasn't heard about it that doesn't seem to be very interested in it. So that's the good news. The other thing I wanted to bring up, because of the fire dangers And I know we have different setups, particularly the Business Guild and that, for safety things, but the golf course is going to be available should we get burned out. And there will be the lower banquet rooms and the cafe will open up for emergency people. If you're burned out of your house and you don't have relatives or want to go to a hotel in town, we're going to open the golf course for emergencies there. So it's just something we wanted. There's going to be coffee and hot chocolate and stuff there if you need it, but there's a big enough room that we don't have blankets or that. We have towels, there's showers and
okay.
things
well,
like
that's,
that.
That's very good to know that we
so, yeah, I wanted the community, because I've been through this with Brian, the general manager, and I haven't renewed it since tonight, but he's never changed his mind on that. So that was something we set up, and I want the community to, okay. to tell your friends if you should
that's
get
that's good that Lynn is here to hear that.
Yeah, okay.
And I had spoken with him. Oh, okay, good. All right, Jim.
I assume that you have the latest letter from Tim Ramirez on the.
And it's going to come up on, yes, yeah. yes. I have made copies, yeah. Okay, thank you. So Molly, we're in just general comments. Would you like to say anything?
You're not supposed to call me out like that. I was sneaking in, I'm late.
Hi, Mom.
Yes, I'd like to introduce my mom. This is my mom, Maureen Donlin, and I was telling her that, you know, Sun always has these great events and meetings, and I said, come and see a town meeting. It's so fun. Just
you want to hear your daughter give a report on what's going on at the school?
Certainly. Okay, well, hold on, I feel bad.
Good morning.
Okay, hi. We're going to speak a while. So, I'm totally prepared.
I'm not going to say good morning, that's sad.
Good afternoon, good evening, everybody. I'm Molly Barnes, I'm the superintendent principal here. And we started out the school year very smoothly, knock on plastic. And if you can believe it, we're already in our fifth week of school. We've had some excellent events. We had our back to school night a couple weeks ago and had a high attendance at that event. And this Friday, we have something fabulous called our annual walk-a-thon. So, trying to get in shape. And I want to go on record of saying that we plan it to not have the 105 degree heat. Woo! So we do plan it like a year in advance. And when last week was 105, we all were saying, please next Friday, don't be 105 or 103. So it's supposed to be 82, I think, on Friday. So we're very happy about that. But it's a big fundraiser for us. Every year, our families have been so generous, and this year we had a record-breaking year so far. We don't have all the final results, but in the past year, my first year here, we would make a lot of times around the 8,000 to 10,000 mark, which for a little tiny school is fantastic. We're right now, I believe, up to $45,000 for a school of 270 kids. We've really expanded it. We've asked a big thing that we've moved into is corporate matching, and that has greatly help. So it's nice when parents, if they want to give, you know, $500 and then they can reach out to their companies and then they match that. So that little piece helped us greatly. But $45,000, and those funds go directly back to the school. So technology is of course a huge need for schools nowadays, and our goal is to move to a one-to-one device. Probably our hope is by next year. So we're right now at about, it's probably closer to three students for one device. So we have a computer lab, we have laptop carts and iPad stations in all the classrooms. So it's an old blend, we like to say that we're small but mighty. Mm-hmm. We just got our test results. You know, the government loves to assess our students and tell us how we're doing as a school. They changed the type of test that they give. If you've been reading the paper, you might be aware of that. And it's called the CASP, which stands for California Assessment of Student Progress and Performance. I can remember that, and I think about it. And across the state of California, the average scores, I think, were around 30% in math. I think they said 32% in math and somewhere around that in language arts. And Sonoma Glen, we were at 72% in language arts of met standards or exceeded standards and 70% in math. So far above the state average. So we're very, very proud. Again, small but mighty. So welcome, and thank you for letting me take a minute. I'm very proud of the school, and we appreciate all the support the community gives to us. I'm about to go bug Mr. O'Loughlin because every other year he's so awesome, and he helps us do this
community tour, and we want our students to appreciate the community in which we reside, so they come and visit the various places, and it's really helpful to point us in the right direction to make those connections. So I'll be calling you. So thank you.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Okay, any other? Oh, I want to say something. It occurred to me that before we go into this septic system future, that we all should know about septic systems and have a common language. So I've asked Irene Martin if she would sort of put together a primer and just various chapters so we all know about what's going on, have vocabulary. So I have the first, it's like a two-page primer on septic systems. And so read it, tell us if we made mistakes or what, tell us what would be helpful for future chapters. And we'll put it, we'll probably put it online. We'll ask Derek if you could put it on the website. But I know for myself, I know bits and pieces about septic systems, and it's good just to read it and just understand how all the bits and pieces fit together, how it flows from your house out to your field, and consequences if it's not done correctly. So I'll put it out here. Please come afterwards and pick it up. In fact, like, could you put it, if people go to leave, oh yeah. Okay, thank you. And it's, Irene Martin didn't put her name down on it, but she is responsible for this.
Who wrote this?
Irene Martin.
She hasn't been here for a while.
She was here the last time, but I, yeah. So any comments, you can send it to me and I'll send it to Irene. But this is very important that we all kind of speak the same language when we hear about advanced systems, we know what it's all about. Right? Gravity systems, advanced systems. So we don't have to kind of go back to zero and explain all these things. We all want to kind of learn and bring out the learning. So, okay, that was my announcement. And I see Bonnie here. I don't see any Cheryl. So Bonnie, how has your month been?
Good evening, everyone. Last month, from the last meeting until this meeting, was rather uneventful on the fire side. That is a good thing. 33 total calls for service, 17 EMS, one hazmat, hazardous condition, one service, and 14 good intent. Notice I did not say the word fire. That is even better than just having 33 calls. So I'm hoping to have that report for October, given that October is actually fire season, the height of it. As you all see on the news, we are rather busy. Please do your due diligence, as you have been here in this community, to ensure the safety of this community. If you thought you were prepared, you're probably not. Use this opportunity to enhance your level of preparation. Make sure those photos you have are on the cloud. Make sure those passports, the original Social Security cards, and those documents are in a fireproof safe, in a safe deposit box in a bank, because those are the things that if you can't and don't have them on your body and you can't get back to grab them, those are the things that are going to be the hardest and are connected to everything else. As you can see with the volunteerism that's going on at the Valley and the Butte Fire, clothes donations will come in, food donations will come in, you can replace other stuff. It is really hard to replace those identity items because you need one to replace the other and it becomes very complex. And I don't want anybody going back for photos and unfortunately missing your window of opportunity to evacuate. Hopefully, knock on plastic, we won't have any issues. But each time there is an emergency, I always encourage people to take that opportunity to once again look at your individual level of preparedness and take it one step further. And that even includes myself. I learned one more thing from every one of these events and incidences. And some people were not even, the firestorm and the Valley Fire moved so fast, as fast if not faster than the Oakland Hills Fire, that some people never were able to get back. and some were barely able to get up. I have heard some stories, and there are some people that it was so traumatic, even if they can rebuild, they will not go back because of the what they saw and what they felt, having to very rapidly evacuate. So just heed all the warnings, utmost caution. Again, I hope to be back next month with a very dull report like this. I like dull. It's okay. I don't need excitement in my life. Dull works for me. But we are here. Our staffing levels are the same as they always would be, even though we have additional resources serving in other areas. But this data is getting stretched. We do expect mid-90 to upper 90 weather this weekend coming back in. And while there were a few raindrops on my windshield, it was not nearly enough.
Not El Nino.
No, but I will say, most of you probably are seeing it, the trees are turning. The trees are turning. There's parts of Canada that are already seeing snow. In the Banff area, they've already received their first snow on top and everything else. So if you start to see it, I'm starting to see it. Winter is trying to push in very quickly. So we can only hope that that El Nino decides to target us. And because even if it comes, it is not going to wipe out the drought. It will just get us to a good fuel moisture level, hopefully, and help replace some of the water that we need for other needs. Any questions, concerns, issues for tonight? Because I'm going to sneak out. But you know me, I never sneak, so I tell you guys I'm going to do it. So, anything else?
Nope.
All right. I hope to be back next month and the following month with really dull reports. Help you do that.
Okay.
All right. And if you need me, you guys all have my number or contact information, give me a call, give me an email. Have a good night.
Okay. Thank you, Bonnie. All right. Progress reports. I don't think we have any for traffic or the Greenways project. I don't see anyone here, so why don't we go on to item four. Last month, it was decided that we were going to write a letter from the council supporting the farmers at the agricultural park, and we did have a letter, and we will send it out, but it's moot because of another letter that Tim Ramirez sent out, and I thought I made copies of it, but apparently I did. Did we have bring copies of it? He says, I write to you, oh no, that's a letter to me. Did we?
It's an email to all us.
Yes, I know, yeah. I thought I printed it up, but apparently what it says is that they're not going to go into the ag park to use for the corporation yard. Oh, you brought it, thank you. We've come to the following conclusion as part of the project. SFPUC will not use any temporary or permanent storage space in the Sunol Ag Park directly south of the existing Sunol Yard. They're proposing to site the temporary staff and equipment activities in a 4-acre area in the southeast quadrant of the Paloma Road, Temple Road intersection during construction. So they will use the existing Sunol Yard footprint as best they can to accommodate the staff and operational needs.